A blessed Sunday, everyone. Welcome to ICS Singapore Online Sunday Service. We are happy that you are able to join us virtually today. As we come before the Lord this morning, let us prepare our heart to meet Him. Now, if you are new to our church, please say hi in the chat box as we would like to give you a warm welcome. Also, please kindly fill out the electronic contact card. You can find the link at the chat box. Our church members would like to know you better. ICS Singapore has our own social media platform, so please check out our Facebook and Instagram as you can find all latest events and information. We do have a WhatsApp group as well, so feel free to add our contact. Prayer Meet. Prayer is an important aspect in our daily Christian walk. So, if you have time, and if you could make some time, please join us every other Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. at Zoom. Discipleship, Arti Kendall 4-Part Seminar. This will be a 4-week video seminar whereby the clips will be released on every Thursday, 8 p.m., starting from 22nd October onwards. Dr. Arti Kendall will be teaching from the Book of Colossians. Woman of Faith. The Woman of Faith meets on every Thursday morning, 9:30, on Zoom. So for ladies, please do join them as they continue their book study entitled The Pursuit of Holiness. Tithes and Offerings. ICS Singapore, thank you for your tithes and offerings. And you can do the offerings via bank transfer. The bank details are here on the screen. Alternatively, you can also use PayNow or PayLah app and scan the given QR code. Now, last but not least, cell groups. We are a cell group church and we strongly encourage everyone to be in one of our available cell groups. So we have a total of 7 cell groups, each caters to different individuals. So we believe you would be able to find one that suits you. Now, being in a cell group definitely is helpful in your Christian walk as you will have a group of brothers and sisters journeying with you. So, if you don't have a cell group yet, please fill in the contact form. Again, the link is provided in the chat box, and we will get back to you shortly. So, that's all for today. Before we hand over to the worship team, let's bow down our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to give you praise and thanks, Lord, for Lord, you are our faithful Father. Lord, we know that we can count on you in every other circumstances, oh Father, Lord God, regardless, you know, up in the valleys or down in the valleys, Lord, we will, you know, we know that we can count on you, Lord. Lord, I just pray today as we prepare our heart to worship and to meet you and to encounter your holy presence and to be with you. I pray, Lord, to really just focus our eyes onto you and just, you know, put aside all our burdens, our worries, our concerns, Lord. Just really between us and you in the current place that we are worshiping you now, Lord. And despite with the current COVID situation, let us not lose heart, Lord, and to really have faith and full trust and believing, Lord, that you have our interests best at in your heart, Lord, that we know that you will not forsake us, you will not abandon us, and you have better plans for us ahead. Even though we could not see now, but let us believe and hold on to the promise, Lord, that you have given to us. Lord, I also want to commit today's service onto your hand. May you fill up our hearts and fill may your holy presence fill the space that we are in now, that we will really worship you, Father, Lord God, wholeheartedly, and may our worship is pleasing in your eyes as well, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, church. Welcome to the online Sunday service. Let's praise and worship our God and give thanks to Him for His love is always endures forever.
Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that we have been able to come before you and worship this morning. We thank you for the worship team that has been working hard to make it possible for us to come together in this manner, Lord. And Lord, we just want to praise you and worship you this Sunday morning. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, as you dwell in the worship of your people, may you also, as we go into the Word this morning, may you speak to us and may the Word become a revelation to us. As well as we pray, Lord, that you bless the tithes and offerings, Father God, that we give into your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Be so very welcome to In Christ Singapore this morning, and thank you for joining us. Before I go into the Word this morning, I just want to give some updates in regards to the reopening of our physical services. We have had a meeting with Hotel for Canning to discuss further the possibilities of reopening our services, physical services within the premises. But unfortunately, at this moment of time, we do not have a confirmed date on when we can open up the physical service. But we are working hard on making this happen to work through all the details of it. And we just ask you to continue to keep us in a prayer and continue to keep the church in prayer in regard to this, as well as we appreciate your patience as all the different factors are being worked out. And also just a kind reminder that as we come together for the physical services again, that we're all in this together. And it's a unified effort of our behalf as a church, as there will be many different things that needs to come into place as the reopening of the church is being done. But with that, I would like to turn our attention to today's message, which is Pillars Within the Church, Prayer and the Word. And about 3 weeks back, I spoke about fellowship as one of the pillars within the church, within the church of God, as well as we've spoken about Holy Communion as one part of the things that the early church did as they gathered together. And today I want to speak about, as it is mentioned in Acts 2:42-42, the part that has to do both with the doctrines or the Word of God as well as prayers. And it says in Acts 2:41-42, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in prayers." So, as we look upon the first church and as we look upon those things that were big pillars within the church, we mentioned parts of them, but today I want to focus on where it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine as well as in prayers. And when it speaks about the apostles' doctrines, it speaks about the Word of God or the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God that goes forth. And the Word of God is one of those great pillars, both in our life as the church of God all over the world, both being his body of Christ all over the world, as well as our local church. The Word of God is something that we cannot compromise on. And the Word of God is something that God needs, of course, it's important that it's preached, not out of context or what God intended for it to be, but in line with the whole Bible. So before I go further into this part, I would like to share with you a video.
It's meant to be opened, explored, pursued. It's made to be read, reread, applied, and used. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, with wisdom, life-changing, to lead us on. It's made for guidance, to teach us His ways, showing what's true, right, and worthy of praise. It's meant to be hidden, deep in our hearts, daily examined as the morning starts. No greater glimpse of God do we have a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path.
So the Word is supposed to be something that we apply to our lives. The Word is a place where we receive wisdom, we understand better who our God is. But it's not only supposed to be head knowledge, it's also supposed to be applied through our into the different situations that we face and in our everyday basis as well. And the Word is a light to our path. It's something that shows us the direction to take. It's something that shows us what is right and what is wrong as well. So looking at the first church, they really spent time. They were continuously found themselves in the doctrines of the apostles, in the teaching of the Word, in the preaching of the Word, in learning more and studying more to understand the Scriptures of God. And it says that they gathered continuously in this manner. And we even find instances, for example, in the book of Acts, where we hear of a young man that fell from the balcony as Paul was preaching because he fell asleep. And the Bible tells us that he, as he fell down, he actually died. But through the miraculous ministry of Paul, he was raised back to life. But for me as a pastor, I find a certain comfort in this passage. Because if someone, a young man, could fall asleep at Paul's preaching, then maybe it isn't, it is not so strange that sometimes for myself I see sleepy eyes as I preach. But the point being is that the hunger was so much there that sometimes even through prolonged meetings of them coming together, the hunger was there to learn more, to listen, hunger for the Word, hunger to understand the Scriptures of God and the ways of God. And when we come to 1 Peter 2 and 2, we read that, as a newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know, just like a newborn baby. When they are born, they need the milk. They need certain things to grow and to grow healthily. The same thing for us as believers, especially when we are newly born again. We need the Word of God to transform us, to transform our understanding of who God is. And the same thing is when we become even more mature believers. We need the Word to continuously be able to speak into our lives, to confront us when confrontation is needed, to encourage us when encouragement is needed, and also to give us the guidance of a path that we need to take, and showing us the character of who our God is. So in the very beginning, as 3,000 people came to know Christ in one day in the first church, there was a need for the Word to be established. There was a need for the Word to be preached. There was a need for the doctrines and the understanding of who God was to be really spoken to the new believers to understand who God is. So when it comes to the Word of God within a church, it may come in different forms. Of course, Sunday preaching is the place where all of us, on a regular basis, where we receive the Word, where the Word may come into our lives as we sit under the Word of God. We also see the Word of God, for example, in our church as we look upon discipleship or Bible study, as well as through cell groups, where we discuss the questions from the last Sunday's sermons together. So the Word in different forms and different ways as it comes through the church is important. And it's also important for a church to be sound when it comes to the doctrines and the teaching of the Word. That it's not just something that is drawn out of context, but it's in line with the rest of the Word of God. But as much as we need it, as much as we see it as a pillar within the church, it's also a pillar within our own lives. And we grow through the Word of God. We grow in understanding. And it becomes a revelation as well. You know, revelation is something that may not come just by reading one verse one time. Revelation comes as we dwell in the Word of God. Revelation of God's goodness. Revelation about healing. Revelation about that we know that we know that we know that God is good. You know, for example, a person can hear God is good, God, Jesus loves you, but it can't just be word to our minds if it hasn't become a revelation to us. In order for a revelation to happen, it has to be the continuation of the word to work in us. It has to be the continuation of us receiving the word, dwelling on the word, kind of eating the word until it becomes a revelation. It's not only a head knowledge, but it's revealed to us that we know Jesus loves me. We know that God is good. We know that healing belongs to us. You know, I'm reminded of this story that I heard one time from a minister, that when he was going through a Bible school, there was a time where one of his Bible school teacher was supposed to, for I think about 4 weeks' time, where he would have this session, he would always speak from the same passage. He would always speak on the same thing. And it came to a place where the Bible school students were just thinking, okay, we've heard the same story again and again and again. What is going on? Why can't he change the subject? Why can't he change the story? It's the same thing and same thing. But what this person, this minister experienced, that as he came to the fourth week of hearing the same message, hearing the same truth, it was in relation to the healing of God. It was not until the fourth week that something within him and in his mind clicked. It was no longer had knowledge. It had become a revelation. It had become something that, and it had become faith, a revelation and a faith to him, that now he knew, he not only knew about it, but he was so secure in understanding that God wanted to heal, and in faith that God wanted to heal him. And that's what the Word of God to us. When we sit under the Word on a Sunday, sometimes we may not even realize what the Word is doing to us. But the Word of God is powerful and mighty, and it will accomplish what God has called it to. So we need to realize, as well as every other influence that we have in the world, the things that are continuously bombarding our minds, the things that we are dwelling on, spending time with, it automatically can either create fear in us or it can create faith. It can create encouragement or it can create discouragement. And the same thing with the Word. The Word, when we are in it, when we listen to it, when we abide in it and we are hungry for it, it changes our innermost being. And it starts, as the Word of God comes in, it creates faith, it creates revelation. And it goes from just being knowledge and a head knowledge to actually being something that we just know. Wow, this is my God. This is the one I believe in. I know that Jesus loves me, and there's not a shadow of doubt in my mind. So when the enemy comes with attack against us, when the enemy comes with all kinds of lies and tries to tell us how not good we are, or what we cannot accomplish anything, we know they are lies because the Word of God is planted in us. And it's not only planted in us, it's become something that we truly believe and know that this is our God. And it's so important as well when it comes to the Word of God, in that we, as we dwell in it, and as well as a new believer, you know, as a new believer, a person doesn't necessarily, there is sometimes a tendency, you know, before, because the Bible says you need the milk first. As babies need milk before they need solid food, it is important to get the foundation right at the very beginning. But there's a tendency sometimes when people come to Christ that they want to jump from here to understanding the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture and all of those things. And they suddenly find themselves in wanting to, like, they're attracted to all kinds of, teaching here and there, and they're, you know, everything that may look exciting to them, But the thing is that the foundations in our lives also need to be there. Nothing wrong with understanding the second coming of Jesus. Nothing wrong with wanting to understand more about the rapture. But if the foundation of the goodness of God isn't there, then it's hard to build even the next step. If the foundation of understanding that God loves me is not there, then it's very hard for me to understand the judgment of God, for example. I need to understand the love of God before I understand the judgment of God. Otherwise, the judgment of God will become something to me that is not as God intended for it to be. And I will start to focus on the wrath of God before I start to focus on the grace of God. And understanding that He is graceful, that He is loving, that He is kind. If I have that as a foundation in my life, then I can understand the wrath of God. Then I can understand the fear of God even better. And even the second coming of Jesus Christ and all of those things. But it's so important that the foundation of the Word of God is there. God loves me. God is good. God takes care of me. I have the righteousness of Christ, not based on my work. Because if I don't understand I am righteous in Christ, I will start to earn His righteousness. Try to earn His righteousness, which I was not intended to do. So we have to be... It's so important for us to, as because Jesus says in Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Jesus did not say, you follow the signs. You go left and right. Wherever people call, wherever people say, you go, you go, you go, you go. No, it says the signs will follow you. So there is something about when it comes to God. God doesn't want us to be just going after whatever teaching and doctrines out there. He wants us to be sound. And He wants us to have the foundation right in our lives. It's important that the Word is something that we dwell on. That the Word and sitting under good teaching, sitting under and seeking the understanding of the Word. And as we seek to learn from others, we also have it as a habit in our life to have our own reading of the Word of God, where we expect the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us. So the Word is a pillar to the church. The Word is a pillar in your own life. And Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So as soon as the Word touches us, as soon as the Word comes into our life, it starts to change us. And the thing is that our mind can either dwell on the positive things or the negative things. Our mind can either dwell on the Word of God and the truth of God or on the lies of the enemy. And to be honest, a lot of it is our own choice. Because we choose, the devil doesn't choose what we think about, and God doesn't choose what you think about. You and I, we choose about what we fill our mind with. And here in Philippians, it says, you know, dwell on those things that are of good reputation. Dwell on those things that are true, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report, that are praiseworthy. Don't dwell on the negative things. Don't dwell on your failures. Don't dwell on what could have been and what could not have been. But dwell on the Word of God. That doesn't mean that the only thing that goes through our mind 24/7 is just the Word of God, the Word of God. But when we don't, when we feel like we are getting negative, when we feel we are getting feeling heavy-minded, that's where we need to draw the truth of the Word of God and see, what does God say about this specific incident? What does God say about what I'm experiencing right now? And then you start to dwell on it. You start to speak it out. You start to let it come into your life and even thank Him about it in prayer. Because the Word of God is the firm foundation that we stand on. Our emotions can be left and right and all over the place in our feelings. But most of the time, or quite often, our feelings are not what is the most reliable thing to stand on. because we can feel like eating a piece of cake, but that doesn't mean that that is actually what is good for us. We can feel like not waking up early in the morning to pray or to go out for a run or an exercise, but that doesn't mean the feeling is the best thing or the best decision that is for us to make. Of course, I'm not disregarding that there are Holy Spirit lives within us and He speaks to us and He is living and He is a personal God that speaks to us. And oftentimes, we may feel this, we may feel the leading of the Holy Spirit in different areas of our life. Absolutely, I'm not disregarding that. But many times, especially those negative feelings that can come in our life, and or all kinds of ideas that may come up in our lives, we need to consult God as well, and we need to consult His Word, and try to understand why. What is the wisest decision to make right now? And kind of confront our feelings and our emotions with the Word of God. Let the things that we are experiencing at this time, and ask ourselves, is it praiseworthy? The thoughts that I have at this moment of time, are they pure? Are they true? Are they praiseworthy? Are they good? Are they in line with God's character? And as we confront that with the Word of God, we oftentimes know what is right and what is wrong, because the Word is a lamp to our feet. It's our guide. It's our help. And Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away." So it means everything else could pass away, even heaven and earth. But the Word of God will still stay the same. The Word of God will still be true. And it will still be the best foundation that we can have. Jesus Christ, our hope, and the Word being the lamp to our feet. And also knowing that the Word becomes a protection to our mind. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what Hebrew tells us is the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It is our weapon. It is our weapon against the spiritual attacks. It is our weapon against even thoughts that we feel like want to overwhelm us. And to discern, as it says, to discern the thoughts, to discern between and make a division between the soul and the spirit. What is of the soul and what is of the spirit? So it's the weapon of our warfare. And we see that as well in Jesus' life when the devil came against him. What did he use? He said, "It is written." He used the Word of God to stand against the lies of the devil. And the same weapon has been given to us. I know that it doesn't look very sharp when we look at it in the natural. I know it doesn't look like a weapon, except you can hit somebody with a Bible if you're in that kind of a danger. But of course it isn't. It doesn't look to the natural eye as a weapon. But the words within it, the truth within it, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has so much power and authority because it's not your word. It's God's word. When you speak, you're not speaking on your own authority. You're speaking on the authority of God. And you have the whole of heaven backing you up when you speak out the word of God. You know, God created the heavens and the earth with His word. And now you have the Bible in front of you, full of the truth of God. And there is power and authority when we proclaim the truth of the word that He has given us. So the question I want to ask us is, what is God speaking? What is He speaking to you? And are you agreeing with Him in your confessions? What are you speaking on a daily basis? Maybe the Lord has promised you restoration. Maybe the Lord has promised you healing. Maybe the Lord has promised you that the situation that you are in right now, is He is going to make a way through it. Or He has given you dreams and visions of what He has in store for you. But if you're all the time speaking contrary to His will, we also need to realize there is power in our words. And we need to choose to be in agreement with Him and not in agreement with the lies. To be in agreement with the truth and the Word of God. Because we can agree with God Himself when we align ourselves with His truth. So going back to chapter 2 in Acts, I spoke about just the Word of God now, or the doctrines of the apostles being the teaching and the preaching of the Word. And the last pillar I want to speak about today, as we've spoken about fellowship, we've spoken about breaking of the bread and about communion, Holy Communion. And now I want to end with prayer. And of course, prayer can come in different forms. But we need to realize that there is nothing that compares to the prayer of a unified church. And before, we need to understand as well that as they continued, as the early church continued in prayers, it was a part of their fellowship as well. It was a part of their gatherings. It was a part of what they did. Prayer was very evident within the first church. And we also need to understand one thing, that before God does anything in the natural, it needs to be plowed through in the spiritual first. Before you go in and you do the things that God calls you to do at the Word of God, absolutely. But it's so important that it's not just done in the natural, but it's the plowing through in the spiritual. And oftentimes, even before God speaks, it comes, it needs to be preceded by the prayers. It needs to be preceded by seeking Him. And there is a power in a praying church that cannot be overemphasized. And we see, for example, in Acts 12, 5-7, what happens when God's church prays together. Where it says, when it speaks about Peter being in prison, and it says in verse 5-7, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. So in this Acts 12, we find the power of a praying church, because as Peter is kept in prison, what does the Bible tell us in verse 5? Constant prayer were offered to God by the church. So as the miracle happened for Peter to receive that angelic vision and that miraculously being set free from prison, it was in connection with the church of God praying for him, praying for the situation. So there is a power in a praying church. So there is no wonder that oftentimes when it comes to the prayer of churches, local churches, and even the body of Christ around the world, the prayer is something that often has a spiritual resistance. And it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes when we look upon churches all over the world, oftentimes we find those 80-year-old ladies that are constantly coming there and praying together in the prayer meetings of the church. But when it comes to the prayer of the church, it definitely is not just for few chosen ones or few here and there. It is something that God calls us together. And when it comes to being a church of God, when it comes to God's church, oftentimes before revivals happen, it is preceded by the church coming together in prayer, seeking Him, hungry for Him, longing for Him. Because the enemy does not want the church of God to come together in a united prayer. And because he knows it shakes the hell, it shakes the gates of hell. But when it comes to prayer as a church, and when it comes to our prayer gatherings as a church in Christ Singapore, when we look upon the cell groups, it's a time where we come together, both in fellowship but also prayer. We journey with one another, we pray for one another, and we also pray for our church. But I also want to emphasize the bi-weekly Tuesday prayers that we have. And also as a pastor, want to call upon us as a congregation when we have the chance to join, especially now when they are on Zoom, and even when we come to the physical setting of it again, to come together, pray together, because there is a power in a praying church. And those Tuesday prayers are not a cell group gatherings. They're a time where we come together and we focus on praying for our church, praying for Singapore, and praying for different things that God places on our heart. But there is a power in a praying church. And it is a place where we also, God unifies us even more with one heart. So prayer is important when it comes to the church. Prayer is also important when it comes to our lives as individual. And prayer can come in different forms. We can pray in the spirit as we pray in tongues. We can pray with understanding as we feel led by the Lord as well. And we can also even pray out the word of God. And I want to share with you a video as well now. And this video is a prayer. Prayer that is based on Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40, and Psalm 51 to 10. And it shows us how you can take the word of God and actually pray out with your own words over your own life the truth of the word of God. So let's see the video together. Sometimes, if we don't know what to pray, and maybe sometimes you have that question, I don't know what to pray. But as we look upon the Word and we dwell in the Word of God, there are things in there, there are truth in there, that maybe sometimes we feel like, I desire that, or that's exactly how I feel as we read the Psalms. Take it and make it into prayer before God. Because as you pray the word, and sometimes you ask, I don't even know the will of God. Well, the will of God is very obvious to us in His word. So take the word, bring it into prayers. Take the psalm if you have a difficult time of praying, or maybe you don't pray in tongues yet, or maybe sometimes with your understanding you feel like you are limited or you don't know what to pray. But take the word. The word can also be a place that we bring before God in prayers and make them a prayers for our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. So praise God for the different pillars of the church. Praise God that God has called us into a community of believers where we can be encouraged by the word, where we can be encouraged by one another fellowship, where we can take the Holy Communion together, and where we can also pray and seek Him together and believe for souls to be saved, reach out to our community, our nation, and be a blessing as well. So there is a strength in the church of God. There is a strength in the community of the believers. And not only can we be strengthened, but also this, you, by your presence, can strengthen someone else as well. Amen and amen. So let me end here today and let me end with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is all powerful and almighty. We thank you, Father God, that you are not hiding who you are, but you are the God that you say that you are in your word, and we can rely on you. We can have faith in you. And Lord, we also thank you that prayer is a powerful thing you have given us. And Father, I just want to pray for each and every one of us, Lord. May we grow in our understanding of your word. May we grow in the power of prayer. May we, Father God, each and every one of us as individual, grow in our fellowship with you, Lord. But we also pray as a church, as an In Christ Singapore. Father God, may we continuously grow when it comes to your word, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to fellowship, Lord, and when it comes to leading new believers to the Lord. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. And Father, I want to pray for those right now that may have had a difficulty. It's actually just been so heavy to seek you. It's been so difficult to put that time aside and seek you, to pray and to read your word, Lord. But right now, Father God, I set them free from that heaviness. I set them free from anything that they may have felt like have been keeping them back from it, Lord. And Father, I just pray for new excitement about the Word of God, new excitement to pray, and the infilling of the presence of God upon their lives right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.